Today we have a special guest. We have Chesandu. You guys have been asking me. I say to you, who do you want in? You guys kept coming at me, get chatting. You know, today I've done this for you guys. I've got the main man here. He's let us into his home. I really appreciate you. Thanks for doing this with us today. No, really appreciate you, mate.
And you guys,
yeah.
For even asking for me.
Thank you, man. People are like, they're on you. That when you do your lives you stand in front of the TV and you're doing your videos and stuff. People were intrigued by you, man.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Take us back to the beginning, man. Where's it all start with you?
Where's it start? Yeah. Born in Hitchin, Hertfordshire.
Yeah.
Parents were illegal immigrants. Well, not illegal immigrants yet. They were called over to work back then.
Yeah.
In the 60s, 60s, 65, I think my old man came over. And started from there. I didn't speak any English. Moved to Huddersfield, went to schooling there.
What's your heritage?
Sikh.
Yeah.
But my old man, he was strict as well. Because the cultures and the values, what they had over there in India, in the Punjab, they tried to enforce them onto us. But I didn't realise you're in England now. Yeah, you know, you're not in the Punjab. We got to deal with English people.
Yeah.
But they don't really get that because they were from there.
And so because you started acting like more like England, English and like how it is, how we do it here compared to how Sikhs do it in India, does that bring shame on the family because you're not following tradition? Or do they accept that you're in a new area, a new country? And does it allow you to be able to take the British children back home to be British, or do you still have to follow the Sikh traditions when you do go home?
Right. Well, now it is like that. Now they know because it's the third generation now, I think, from our lot that came over first time round. So now it has changed. And so now they do have an understanding of how it is. But back then, when I was little, no, there was no understanding. If you did anything out of order, did this, did that, you were frowned upon, you were looked down on. They treated it the same way as they did back in India. Mm-hmm. You know, it was the same styles. It only changed, I would say, in the last 10 to 12, 15 years.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah,
Because you're brought up in the UK, so you're going to be quite British traditions, Sikh traditions. Mind you guys have a beautiful traditions, weddings and stuff like that. It's just colourful as hell, It's absolutely great.
Weddings, right. I was the first Sikh boy in the whole of our lot to marry an English girl.
Oh, wow.
A white girl, right? I was the first one. And that was really looked down upon.
Yeah.
There were certain members of the family who didn't even turn up because I thought it was that wrong.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. What year was this? I was 23 when I got married. 23.
So only a couple of years
now.
Ago then.
Yeah. 30 years ago, I'm sorry. Yeah. But that's what it was like. They didn't even attend.
Well, how did that make you feel?
Fuck you.
Yeah.
You know? Fuck you.
Rebel
sort of
hard,
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a girl I want to be with. And she's white, and this is how it happens, you know, because they wanted me to have an arranged marriage for all that palaver, which I did second time round when I came out of jail on my second sentence. I didn't have an arranged marriage then.
So how does that go down then? Because one, you've already been frowned upon. You should only be married once, right? So tradition goes. Not only is it the second time you get married to a lady, which is arranged, how did the family look at that and think, well, hang on a minute, this guy is no good for my daughter because he's already been married to a white woman in England, and now this is the second time, he obviously doesn't want marriage, so I've got to entrust my daughter. That's really that strict, isn't it?
Yes, but you know why? Because our family had money.
Ah, makes sense.
They were from a poor family in India, right?
Yeah.
So to marry into our family, even if it never lasted, and it didn't. For 8 years, we were married. But she took a lot of money, siphoned a lot of money out of the shop I had in her name. She was in charge, about 100K siphoned through there.
Wow.
Slowly, slowly, slowly.
Do you think that was her long-term plan? Do you think that was the family's long-term plan, is to get
yes,
her in?
Yes, yes, I think so, because they built second floors in the houses in India. Her brother got a new Harley. I didn't even know.
Okay, now I'm on Harley. I didn't even know. Harley's in second floors, I'm going to marry you.
I didn't even know at the time. It's just one of them things. Yeah. And so I just learned from that.
Do they get frowned upon for something like that then? If they're getting married just to rob a rich family.
Yes. They do, yes, because the family members who were involved with this, they said, right, we're not going to speak to them anymore because after what she has done.
Yeah.
So they cut them off.
Because the last name for a Sikh is everything, isn't it?
Yeah.
The family name is everything to us.
Yeah. They are strict. Too strict sometimes, you know. Sometimes they just need to ease up a little bit.
It's because you're a 21st century man. That's what it is.
Yeah.
You broke tradition a long time
ago.
Yeah,
I know. Back in the 90s with the pills.
Yeah. So you say you went to prison and that lot whilst you was with your white wife.
Yes.
Did things go wrong there because of jail and because of the way that you was? Or
Right. The first time I went to jail was in Spain. I was with her then and we were split up at the time. But we still used to talk and I used to see the kids every week, blah, blah, blah. This is 1998. And then I got nicked. And then once I got nicked, I was in the newspapers. Chronicle here, caught with two mules. I was the mastermind. And they made a big thing out of it because it was the biggest seizure in Spanish history of pharmaceutical drugs. Volume I had, $250,000.
Wow.
Yeah, which is a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot of tablets.
I get you sleep.
They say, why you got this much? I just said, because I can't sleep, brother.
It's personal use.
I said it was personal use.
Did you really?
Well, that's what I was saying. I had to say it, didn't I?
Yeah.
What else am I going to say? I'm going to move them on. No, I said I can't sleep, bro. Anyway, so that happened. So when I got inside, a lot of things came to light. A lot of people went to my ex-wife. Divorce papers came through whilst I was inside in the first month.
That must have been hard.
Well, yeah, on top of what I was already handling, she wanted to screw me tail on my money at the same time.
Did they tell you what kind of time you was going to be looking at?
10 year. 9 year if I made a deal. They said because over there, Valium is Class A. Class C here in this country, which is what I thought it was in Spain, but it's not. Spanish laws are totally different. Class B is marijuana, cannabis. They don't have a Class C, and Class A is everything else. And cocaine, heroin, pills even, because they say it contains, a 10 milligram pill contains a tiny amount of diazepam. But if you add all them up, that's a Class A drug. So they added all the little bits up and they said you have 2.5 kilo.
They must have really wanted you to start.
Well, you know. I think so, because they're trapped on my flight. Interpol were like on my case.
You must have been doing it for a while then.
Well, yeah. I don't want to say how long exactly.
I know you don't want to say. I don't want you to drink yourself
all the numbers
in that.
Add all the numbers up and think, right, okay.
So you'd got caught for the class for the biggest seizure in Spain.
Yeah.
How'd that make you feel? Obviously scared because you're looking at a 10 stretch.
Well, yeah, 10, yeah. And if I made a deal, 9. That's how it goes down. That's what I was told. But to cut a long story short, I got this brief at the first. He was full of shit, trying to get me bail. Didn't get bail. And then once I could learn Spanish, I spoke Spanish. I started to speak to the top heads there on my wing. There was only about 40 heads on the wing, but they were all in for drugs. And they all had money. Venezuela they were from, Peru, Switzerland, France. They were all big-time movers. And they said, you need to get a better lawyer. They said, if you get a bent lawyer, it'll cost you this much, blah, 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 and it'll get you half a sentence. I'm like, really? So they hooked me up. So I spoke Spanish, and I got this lawyer, and he did the business. 4.5 years I got in the end.
Wow.
Couldn't believe it. Cost me $6,000 to pay off the judge and $3,000 for him.
Wow.
But that was quite, I thought, cheap in my eyes.
Yeah.
Oh, I would have paid a lot more than that. He cut his own short, really.
Yeah, I'd be like, yeah, well, it's a bit steep, but I suppose I could do that. I was like, fucking.
But like in Spain, they haven't got a lot of money there, have they?
Yeah.
They don't have a welfare system. They're all a bit skint.
Yeah.
So
I remember getting caught on a motorbike when I was in Spain, and I'd give him like 200, I think it was pesos at the time, and he just said, all right, on your way, and let me ride the bike off.
Right.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, wicked.
Right, easy, yeah.
Yeah, no problem.
You didn't get no...
No, I didn't get nothing. He turned around and said, stop, how much you got on you? I was like...
How much you got on you?
I got 200 pesos. I was like, I got 200 of your money. And they were like, okay, go. I was like, but you, do I get my money? And they go, no, go. And then they go. And you're like, oh, all right.
Yes.
Yeah, so I was off.
Bonuses, because their wages are so minimum.
Mm-hmm.
They don't pay them hardly anything.
Nah.
So they're going to do this. Pay them a little bit more, and they might not do this shit to us.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
When I got necktied rings, this and that, they just took them all. I didn't get no... Didn't get them back a fuck off.
I bet you didn't.
The watch, nothing, zero.
So do you think that the missus had heard the sentence despite your efforts to get out earlier, and she was just like, I ain't waiting no 10 years, I'm off?
She knew I wasn't good anyway, which is why we split up, and that was just like the final nail in the coffin, that one. So she thought, right, he's going to do a 9 stretch. Let me just get the money off him.
Yeah.
Because he ain't coming out for a while. And I'm free and easy to do what I want, and he's not around.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. So when you come out of jail from Spain, did you stay there? Or did they tell you to get out?
Yes, right. My lawyer, he was that good. He got me a, what's that word? Expulsion.
Yeah.
Expulsion that I can't go back to Spain for 10 years. If I agree to that, they will let me out now. So I got out about 3 months earlier.
Oh, wow.
Within the 4.5 years. Yeah. So that was a little bit of a...
Yeah,
nice one, lawyer. You know, I wasn't expecting that one.
No, definitely not.
Yeah, the papers just come through. They went... Sandu, boom, you're out, you're free. So they took me on a flight to Gatwick. Two armed marshals had to clear the back 12 seats off the plane, handcuffed all the way. But I was that excited. It was hot, and then I was in the gym at the time. I just had my shorts, my vest on. And when I was leaving, they were all happy for me, yeah? Some were a bit, like, pissed off, yeah? Because they're looking at big ones and they think, oh, he's going home.
Yeah.
You know that feeling, yeah, when they think, oh, he's going home if you don't like somebody, yeah?
Yeah.
But a lot of them were like happy for me, and they went, right, okay. So all the gear I had loads of fun clothes, this and that. I gave it all away. But I didn't realise I just had my shorts and my vest, and I'm going to Gatwick in February.
Yeah, he turned up. Everyone's looking at you as like, 12 seats, he's got marshals there, they clear the plane, they're like, this criminal. You get back to the UK and everyone's like, what the fuck is this guy?
I know, here? And then they opened the cuffs and they went, go. They went, is there any warrant for you here? I went, no, I don't think so. And they checked up and there wasn't. They went, right, they just opened the gloves up and they went, right, go. No money or nothing, but I did have a little bit of hash and potatoes, money, shoved up my ass, yeah? It's an extra pocket, yeah, in jail. It's an extra pocket, yeah? Okay, that's how you got to look at it. That's where you got to keep your shit, man. So I gave everything away apart from the hash I had and the money, and so I stuck that on my ass, so that stayed there. So I changed that. I changed that. It might have smelled a little bit when I changed that. So I changed that money, so I had a little bit just... For that night, but I didn't have enough for the train fare, so I had to phone my old man and sort the ticket out. So I came back up here.
And this is where you resided. So from this, and now you're back, you know, what did your family make of you, doing this?
Yeah.
Did they know anything about it?
Yeah. They knew what I was doing, but they didn't expect the length of time I was going to be away for, because in England, Class C carries a maximum of 2 years, the first offence of that, you probably would just get community service or something stupid like that, you know, which was what was in my head initially.
Yeah.
But Spain's different. You learn the hard way, you know. You learn the hard way. One. Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, so they frowned upon that. But what it was, I just got involved with like another firm straight away. They knew I'd been away. They knew he's okay to be trusted. He can do the business, this and that. So I got involved with a firm up here, and we were handling prostitution ring here. Nobody else was allowed to open up. If they did, then we would go masks and machetes and just close them down, which is what I got the second one for.
So someone else tried to set up and you'd
we would close them down, yeah, because back then you had to advertise only in the, there was no internet then, in the Daily Sport.
Yeah.
You had to put the ads up, but all the ads were of our flats with our girls in them.
Yeah.
How we worked it here is two girls in each flat, we just charged them £60 a day and we paid all expenses. And whatever they made is theirs. Some made £1,000 a day. But all we wanted was our 60 and that's it. And most of the time, they even used to say, no, I ain't made the 60. Because they all got habits, you know.
Yeah.
It was one of them. And there was a lot of hassle. But if any guys came in, pissed, didn't want to leave or didn't want to pay the girls, they used to phone us. There was four in our firm, and we'd be in the area, and we'd just go and sort them out. Roll them. There was an associate of mine. I never used to want to do this, but if a bird, yeah, punter comes in, he's got a lot of money in his wallet, she would phone him, and he would just come in and tax him. Because he can't go to the police because he's in a brass house, yeah?
Yeah.
And he's married.
His house, yeah.
So he would do that. And I went, listen, why are you doing that? I said, well, this is business. He's got money.
Yeah.
He'll come back again next week.
Yeah.
But he's...
They're just looking for the now
Yeah. You know, which sort of annoyed me. So that's what I worked with. And that, oh, well, I'm a bit fucking mental. 7 stretch I got on that. Blackmail, extortion, living off moral earnings, controlling prostitution, and some price conspiracy to supply. Class A. I got caught with quarter of a kilo of coke as well in my glove compartment. When I was at Laxy Daisy.
Yeah.
That fucked up at the time.
Is that because you were taking the drugs and that lot as well? So, or was it just because you was living in such a powerful way that you
both.
Yeah, it works hand in hand, doesn't it? It's surprising how much it can actually stop you from...
Yeah, because I came out of this the Spain experience.
Yeah.
I came out of that on top, you know. Yeah. And I felt really strong about myself. So I thought, right, okay, I feel, boom, let's go again. I don't know why I thought like that.
So when you got, when it come on top and you got pulled over, they'd obviously been watching you for a while again. Do you think that they'd paid attention to you and from the last time, Spain, and just kept attack on you? But this time you went into the prostitution and the violence protection.
I went into a firm, So they knew what was going on because the firm I was working with were already under investigation.
Did they try you under a gang conspiracy or?
Yes. There was 4 of us in the dock, and we all got it. I got the biggest because I had the cocaine. So it was just one of the... And when I got a sentence, the police are bastards as well. I ain't going to tell you the story, but the right concept. They told me I got about 4 and this and that. All right, okay. But in the end, I just got that, a big and bang. 7 he just threw at me, 4.
And most of that was because of the coke.
Yeah. 5 for the coke. 5 for the coke he gave me. And wow. I thought, well, I'll get less because I just made out I had a drug problem, career, blah, blah, blah.
Sometimes when you do say that you got a problem, they do the blood test or whatever, they normally run stuff consecutive with everything.
But
with you, they didn't. They give you the 5 for the coke and then the rest for the prostitution and the handling.
concurrent, I thought it might run.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, he gave me consec on purpose just to teach me a lesson. And it did teach me a lesson, actually.
Yeah.
Because after that sentence, boom, it's been all good, you know.
Yeah. So from there, you haven't been into trouble since?
Trouble since, yeah. I've been arrested a couple of times. You know how it goes.
Yeah.
But nothing like sort of back inside now. Maybe a night in the cells for the odd fight here and there that you have that happens here. You know, just shit happens now.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's about
it. Yeah, but you're on bigger and better things now, though, aren't you?
Yes, 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 yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Right, Alpha CBD is my company. Right, how does that work? It's how it works is our bodies, yeah, don't have an ibuprofen or an opiate system, yeah. So if you take pills, they just give you a short-term effect. But our bodies do have a cannabinoid system. So if you don't give yourself this and the receptors are there, and then that's when you get skin deficiencies, you get cancer cells getting built up, you get arthritis, you get Parkinson's, you get this, you get that, you get the whole spectrum of things. But if you give yourself this oil, you won't get any of that. Asthma, this and that, it heals the whole thing. I've got loads of people, reviews of people that have helped with Parkinson's, epilepsy, arthritis, even me. Everything that was wrong with me, boom, I had eczema, all gone, and it's never come back. Skin conditions, the whole spectrum, it heals it.
Wow, I didn't even know.
But this is why the government is trying to stop this. Because we're healing people and they're not taking their tablets.
Yeah, so the money goes down.
Yeah. And the money is going for like people like me, which is not where they want it to go.
Well, it's because you're legally selling.
I'm legally selling. Yeah, legal drugs. And it's helping.
Yeah, and they can't shut you down.
No, not at the moment, no.
Yeah. You want to make sure, yeah? I'd be checking the law on a daily basis, just making sure, because they'd probably not tell you that the law's changed, knock on your door at like 12 o'clock at night.
Well, what they have changed is a law. Full spectrum can't be sold. It's only isolate now.
Right.
So that means...
How does that work?
Right. The full spectrum is the one that heals everything. The isolate is there. Some of the good stuff is out of it. Yeah. But mine's got all good, though.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah. Mine works.
Where can anyone get this stuff from?
From my site. You can put a link on the bottom.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah. It's just www.alphacbd.eu. Packages are there. I'm the cheapest one available as well on the market because I just work from home. I don't have an office. I don't have any staff. It's just me and my mum that packages stuff. This is what I do now on a daily basis, do my parcels, this and that. And it's helping people and it pays well. So I think it's all good.
Excellent, man.
Yeah, it's all good, man.
And it's keeping you out of prison.
And it's keeping me out of jail, yeah.
So with this new you and this new venture of how you're becoming in that lot, have you ever looked back over, you know, some of the things that you've done?
Yes, all the time it comes to me.
Yeah. How does that affect you?
I've done some bad shit as well.
Mm.
It's that shit that affects me. Yeah. Not the good shit I've done. Because you can do good shit in an illegal way, you know?
Yeah.
But it's just the bad shit, you know? Yeah. The stuff where I shouldn't have done that. Stuff like that comes back to you, doesn't it? You know, it never leaves you, does it?
No, definitely not.
It never leaves you.
This is the one thing, like, when I've been doing my podcast and stuff and I talk to people and they've been at the top of the game like yourself, you know, you know, you're all over the internet, you know, things that you've been convicted for and things like that. And you're a force, you know, you really are. And, like, this new you that's shining through, people are like, hang on a minute, like, you really can change. Like, this is possible.
Yeah. Yes, you can,
But that doesn't go without the trials and tribulations of like the negative thoughts that you still have from it all. Like, you know, when you start becoming a better person, you start evaluating the damage that you caused, the destruction that was caused. And then I don't think people realize that the effects that it actually has on you as a person with when you become good, of like when you're sitting there and you are thinking about it, it does affect you just like it affected the people that you did it to.
Yes,
you know?
Yes, yes.
And coming to terms with that is actually quite hard, isn't it?
Well, yes. You can't really come to terms with it, you know, because the thoughts are always there. Sometimes you can't sleep on a night and you just start thinking about some weird shit, and then stuff like that just comes into your head. And you think, oh, God, that's how I used to be. That's how I used to be. Stuff like that, you know?
Mm.
It's upsetting it, Danny, and it just bring it down. You got to put yourself through that and think, let's start doing good.
And it's amazing, like, when you do start doing good, just how much better you feel, more of a buzz
when it's bad.
Yeah.
When it's bad, all you're thinking is bad as well. Yeah. All you're thinking, right, now something's going to happen to me bad. Yeah, yeah. Because I did something bad.
Yeah.
And so it's just bad in your thoughts. And then you think, right, and then I'm going to do this bad to him. But it's nothing used to come back because of the firm that we're with. We were just like a force on our own. And we could do what we wanted. You know, there's loads of stories about just the mad shit. It's just fucking crazy, some of the shit you used to do, you know. With all the girls and this and that, and the drugs flying about, going to clubs. Footballers would be there in a queue waiting to come in. We would walk, they would tell the footballers to stand back and let us in first. Stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you get a sense of falseness, really.
Yeah.
You know, of like invincibility.
Yeah.
But then it just comes on you, boosh, and then you get hit with a big one.
Yeah, I always find that when you're creating your own power within your head from visual aspect of seeing things like walking into the club before the footballers, people seeing you and not wanting to challenge you, like, you know, you walk into a room, they walk out, it gives you this false sense of security that you are the man.
Yeah.
And then when you're on your ass, or you end up in prison, or you end up, you know, rock bottom with your mental thoughts, you turn around to look for the people that is walking in the clubs with you, that you're buying the drinks for, that you're buying dinner for, that you're showing them a good time, and you're alone. You're on your own. There's no one around. And I don't think it's till you hit rock bottom, when you feel like you're at the top, that you realise that the people that you surround yourself with are not really your friends.
No.
They're not the people that's going to be there for you.
Not really.
They're not going to be. And the people that you've hurt along the way, i.e. family members, girlfriends, wives, anything like that, you step back and you look, they're the ones that you didn't think there was going to be there that are actually still there, you know? Like you say, you know, when you was doing all the bad and that lot, and you brought shame upon your family, you just said yourself, you're there packaging and you're doing it with your mums.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She's like, she's there helping you out,
yeah.
You know? And I guess you could step back and think, after all the shit I've done,
yeah,
I can still open my eyes up and you're still there. Thank you.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I'm saying? Thank you. Because I'm not alone, because I still have you. Hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one to think about on that one.
Yeah, well, might as well have been there. Nobody else. When I went to Spain, nobody even wrote to me, man.
Yeah.
Do you know all the ones I was partying with, having a free ride, free
But that's
that?
The real talk. That's the talk that none of them were not understanding.
None of them wrote to me, man.
And your mum was probably the one fighting for you to get out and, you know, making sure that you was okay.
Trying to. But over there, it's hard work. And then I got a second one here, and that, I killed her off nearly. So I thought I'd never do it again. Because it's not you. It's not you, we could go to jail. We can, how many years? Right, okay, I'll do it. But our mums can't, And the ones close to us can't. Because they feel it worse than us.
So I'm saying, at least, they're more in prison out here. Yeah, than you're in there. Yeah. And there's nothing they can do about it.
But we're inside and we're all right. We're on a basic routine. You sleep, you wake up, you go to work, you have your food, you go for a walk, you do this, you go to sleep again, you wake up again, go to sleep again, watch Emmerdale Coronation Street, go to sleep again, have a wank, go to sleep again. It's the same thing every day. And for us, it's quite easy. Mm. But the people on the app, we ain't got no bills coming in. We don't have no stress of this to handle, that to handle, because they have to handle all our shit while we're inside.
Yeah.
But we don't have that problem. So that's why it's quite easy in jail as well.
Yeah, and then because we don't realise how hard it is for them outside, you're applying pressure like, why ain't you done this? Get this done, get this done.
Yes.
And they're like,
yes, yes.
You know, but son, I'm struggling out here, and you just don't think of it like that.
No, you don't. You don't. You ask them to do this and do that, do this and do that. And they do it, try to do it to the best of the ability, but you can't put, but you don't think of that inside.
Have you ever spoke to your mum about this?
Not really. She just knows. I told her I'd never go back.
Is that truth?
Yeah, of course.
She believe you?
Yes, because there's no reason why I should go back. So I'm not going to put myself in a position to get myself a sentence where I do go back, you know? So
that's good, man.
I'm not involved in nothing like that. Okay, I might do something minor, driving fucking, I don't know, this and that. You get a couple of points in. Yeah, shit like that. Bullshit happens, yeah? You know, like in our lives, shit normally comes to us. We don't go looking for shit.
Yeah.
It comes to us, and sometimes you just got to handle it, but make sure you handle it in the right way.
Does being a part of the lifestyle that you had and then breaking away from it and becoming the success that you're becoming with your new business venture and stuff,
yep.
You know, helping family out as well, like with your mum and that lot, do you ever get the other people try and contact you? And from the past being like, we need you. We know you're good. You don't talk. You do the time. You do the crime. No problems.
Yeah. I do get a lot of people who contact me. Mostly it's people I don't know. Mostly people I don't know. And they like message me telling them, I've got this problem. I've got that problem. Can you help me out? And I try and answer their calls. Yeah. I try and phone them up and to give them advice. Try and do what I can with that. People that are close to me, you fall out with family members and this and that. And I've attempted to like make up with them, but some of them just don't want to know, so you just leave it, you know. But the mainly people I help are people I don't even know, who come to me for like advice. They say, my son is like this, that, can you have a word with him? He looks up to you, and then, okay, I'll speak to him.
So, wow, people are coming to you and your help is as a role model aspect.
Yeah.
What a turnaround.
Yeah, yeah.
What a turnaround.
Yeah.
Good for you, mate.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good thing because, listen, this is the whole reason why I do the podcast and that lot, because it's all about like, getting the people that were at the top of their game, like, you know, you couldn't get, I mean, you know, you got the highest drug smuggle that come in from, you went to jail for, you know, machetes. And
it was 11 years in total,
yeah. And you've been there and you've come out and you're now helping people. Tell me that's not a powerful podcast, you know? Like, no, when people were looking over things, they'd be like, yeah, he's a gangster, man. I want to be just like him. But you're an ex-gangster that's now turned businessman and entrepreneur, and people are now viewing you even more powerful because instead of them going, yeah, I need your help to smash this person up, they're saying, can you help my son?
Yeah.
Yeah, become a better person.
Yeah,
and you're there taking the time to do it.
Yes.
There's nothing but respect there from me for that, mate.
Cool.
You know what I mean? And you keep pushing that way. Everything will come back into play for you.
Yeah,
people
I think
will
so.
Start seeing it better.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately for a lot of people will not let you forget your past. It doesn't matter how much good you do in the future.
I know they don't, I know they don't, yeah.
And I never understand that because I think to myself, you know, everybody's got a past, right? Everybody.
Yeah.
So what about your past?
Yes.
What about your past? What about what you've done?
We don't even know about it, do we?
Exactly.
But they know about ours because we've said it.
Yeah, because we're brave enough to put ourselves on the line to make people realise that that's not the way and this is it. Unfortunately, like I say in most of my podcasts, we had to go through the shit to be able to find the real us now. Because before, if we were thinking the way we were thinking and we shew weakness by showing love, we ain't real. We're not gangsters. We're not doing our thing. But that's just stupid thought.
Yeah.
Because of that, we were ruining our own life.
Yes.
And we were ruining our legacy. And we were ruining our greatness. Because clearly, this person has always been in you. But because your mindset thought that it was weak to be real.
Yeah, I think so.
It never shew. You covered it up by being aggressive, by being the man, by being feared, by doing drugs, by prostitution, by all of the above. But it's not until you then realise that you are, this is the real you. And now look at the love and the respect you're getting. Because what you're getting now is real.
Yeah?
Because when you're bad, I always say, if you're bad and you're causing the biggest, you can help everyone in the street punching people up left, right and centre. But when you die, people will be happy because you're scum, you're nobody, because all you do is cause terror, 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 terror. And no one wants that in the street. But if you, and so your respect that you feel is real is not, because no one's bothered that you're gone. But when you start being real and you start helping, you start showing love, you start showing that it's okay to be normal, it's okay to show love, it's okay to be kind, it's okay to help people.
Yeah.
That's when you gain the real respect. So when you do go, people want that legacy to live forever.
Yeah.
You understand? So,
yeah.
So this is the path I feel like you're on now, creating your legacy for generations.
Yeah. My book is out as well in March.
That's what I'm talking about, see?
Yeah. Then that starts from the beginning when I was 3 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. From 3 till the end of my sentence from Spain. And then I'm going to do another book. Follow on, because there's that much. There's 120,000 words already in this.
Wow.
Yeah.
You see, you're already moving. You're moving forward greater. Yeah. You know, you've got a book coming out. You've gone through it all. Your business is taking off. You're finding yourself now, which is great. You're not going back to prison because you promised your mum.
Yeah.
And you've said this on camera.
Yeah.
So this is it now. You're done. You've sworn blind now. So this is good. Yeah. So when your book comes out and that, make sure that you send it where the people can get it from and stuff
I'll
get it out there for people to be able to see this.
Right. Okay. Well, excellent. So. Yeah. I'm working with Sean Atwood on this.
Nice.
His publishing group. So it's all getting done.
Yeah, he moves fast, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's okay. It was just a spelling, grammar, blah, 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 that had to be
exactly the same corrected. Machine,
they said they had to make 20,000 changes.
Spell checks.
20,000. It's 120,000 words. But there were 20,000.
If you're anything like me, you'll spell it how you say it. Mm. So like people are like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. So that's out. And then after that.
So when's that being released?
He says about March.
Do you know where it's going
to
be sold
I don't know yet anything like that. You know, I'll have to speak to Sean and the editors. See how we're going to do this, how we're going to push it. The title, we don't know yet. I did have an idea of one, but he doesn't think it's right because he says it just goes on Amazon search. People just search. You need to, like, put this in the title, generic, put that in the title. Yeah. But I don't know.
I think it's got to be what you want it to be, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think so.
Because I know when people are looking for things, but say, like, for instance, if you know, I haven't got a crime book by any means, you know, but, you know, I think, like, with the title, I don't think anyone's going to be like, oh, I must get the title for that book. They're going to be typing your name.
I think so, yes.
So they're going to be like, Chet Sandu, and then your book's going to come up, you know?
This is what I wanted it, yeah? Self-made, dues paid.
Love it.
Yeah.
I love that. That has to be done.
Tattoo I've got there on my arm of that, yeah? And nobody has a book called that because you have to call it a book what nobody else has called before.
I think it's catchy as hell, you know.
Yeah. I think so. But Sean goes, no, you have to put international drug smuggler in it or something. I went, no, not really. Because this is about when I was like a kid.
Yeah. I to be honest, I think I would go for more that title than the other one.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, because if anyone knows you, if anyone's going to buy your book, it's going to be off your name.
Yeah. Not off just because it's like a, okay, another book about drugs, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. I like that title.
Yeah.
Say that again.
Self-made, dues paid.
That's the one, mate. Yeah. You need Rick say, I've just been speaking to Paul. He agrees with me. This book has got to be called this and make it happen.
Yeah.
Short book, man.
Yeah. The toes on my arm.
This is it. It's there. It's done.
Yeah, I think so. I'll phone him up and sort that out. I thought this as well, but he said, no, do it like this. I went, no, not really. Not really. No.
Thing is, like when it comes, I could probably see why he's doing it. You know, when you've got like Jews in the title and stuff, I get it. But you know, this is what you live by. This is you. You know, so
yeah.
I think you know, Chet Sandu, controversial guy. Like you know, he says it how it is. He knows what he wants. It's you.
Yeah,
the book is your story.
Yes,
your life
and my title. I think.
I think it needs to come across as you, and that's something you'd say. It's something you've inked on you for life.
Sure. Yes. Yeah.
I want to see that title on the book.
Cool. Yeah. So do I. That was my thing, you know, in my head. Then I was told to change it. But never mind. We ain't changing it.
Sure, man. Sort this out. We've got to get this title.
We'll sort it out.
Yeah, he's got to get it done. Sure. Come on, man. Come on. Yeah. Come on. Let's get it done.
Yeah.
Man, I absolutely loved podcasting you today. It's been absolutely amazing. Is there anything you'd like to add to any of this?
Add to it? I don't know. What did we leave out? What did we leave? It was a bit of a fast run through it, but the thing is, this year, glamour, crime, gangsterism, being the top guy. It just gets you nowhere at the end of the day. It gets you a fucking nothing, does it? It gets you nowhere.
I'm glad you added that.
Yeah.
I'm glad you added that because, you know, despite all the glory of it being on the streets, once you come off of the street, once you stop it, somebody else is ready to take your space.
Yes.
So
you're only
going to be a face until you die or you spend the rest of your life in jail.
Yeah.
And that's only going to be with the boys in jail. Outside, you was just a problem that will slowly be forgotten about.
Because
as soon as you're off the street, somebody else gets put in place.
That's what
and people are living this crazy legacy to leave behind for being the baddest person on the street and not realizing that if you died right there and then, somebody else will stand straight in that spot.
Yes.
They'll pour a bit of drink, they'll have a smoke or whatever to you that night for a couple of weeks or whatever.
Yeah.
But then from that, the new legend stands in place.
That's right. And that's what happened in our case. Once we all got nicked, our gang, we were controlling the whole area. Everybody just started to do their own thing.
Yeah.
There was nobody in force then. But the police, we had a copper as well in our case. He was giving his information. And his benefits were just to have sex with the brass. That's all he wanted. He didn't want no money. He used to he was involved. He got a 7 stretch as well. Because a judge said, I can't give you any less than what I give them. And I got that. And then he got it as well.
Wow.
He said, I can't give you any less. He said, because you're supposed to be a law enforcement officer.
So the officer got caught as well?
Yeah, he got caught and all for giving his information. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. There was something I was going to say about that. What I started off about. I don't know, I forget what it is now. But anyway, he was involved in the case and that's what happened. So.
Was his thing just strictly giving information or did he get stuck in with a lot of the crime stuff?
No, just
info.
Tip offs on raids. You're going to get a raid tomorrow by the police, blah, blah, blah. And then we'll just get out of the flat.
How did they know? Did someone turn him over, the copper, or was it?
Oh, this is another story. I don't know if he's alive or dead now. But he had a couple of girls who used to work for him, but he was bad. He used to treat them bad, pay them in heroin, And he was bad to them, beat them up, rape them. Anyway, the girls were sick of it, so they went to the police, accused him of rape. So he got charged with rape and holding them hostage and this and that and hurting them. So then he turned grass on us.
Oh.
Because he was looking at 22 year. 13 he got in the end. He made a deal for. So from 22 to 13, because he handed all us in. Threw all us in.
Was he part of the firm? No.
One of our firm let him work because he used to be his mate at school. And he says he pays us £300 a week anyway to operate. So we said, okay, if you pay us that a week, and then you can work. But he's the one that ended up turning the grass.
Wow. And has anyone seen him since?
No. When he came to court, he had like black lines all over his neck where he tried to kill himself.
Hang himself.
But it didn't work. Don't know where he is.
Is that because he didn't want to serve his sentence, or was that because...
Yes, I think so. Because he was in for rape and he was in for turning grass on us. So it's a double whammy, isn't it?
Yeah.
You don't want to be...
Did you end up in the same prison as him then, did you?
No. He was in a totally separate place. We went to the same prison, but in...
Different wings.
Different wings, all of us. They put us all separate. Until the case... And then we just got...
How long was you on remand for before it went...
Over a year.
Oh, wow. Did that come off your sentence?
Yeah. So...
They're sort of slowing up on that now, you know, the time you serve on remand, especially anything to do with knife crime and that. They tend to slow up. So if you're in there and it takes you a year, that don't even come off your sentence.
Oh, doesn't it?
No. When I lost my brother to knife crime, he was murdered. They were inside for a while and none of their remand time come off of their sentence. And they have to do full serve before they can even apply for parole.
I thought that's for life was only, where the time served early.
Yeah. So them lifers, one there was four of them, one got 22 years and three of them got 18 each. So serving full sentence before they could even apply. And their remand time never got took off it.
Yeah. Life was dark. Yeah. It's harsh. The harsh world, people don't realise until you get banged up and then you're in there.
Alone.
Yeah.
And watching and listening to your family struggle on the outside.
And you can't do nothing about it.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people who I know, it's happened to a couple of my cousins, you know, where they've been in jail and stuff, and, you know, their mums have died whilst they've been in jail, or their dads have died while they've been in jail. And you know, some have not even been able to go to the funeral because they wouldn't let them out because they were a risk, you know.
Yeah.
We done a podcast with Razor Smith. His son died whilst he was in jail and they wouldn't let him out to go to his son's funeral, you know. And this is the harsh reality of, like, you know, you don't just think, oh, this has happened, oh, I can go out now, I'm going to go to mama's funeral. You have to apply for that. You have to ask them. You have to beg them. You have to plead them.
Yes.
You know, just to go, because you automatically feel like, you know, that kind of stuff is a luxury on the outside for people that are, you know, doing good.
Yeah.
You know, so when you're being bad, you can't just assume that you're going to be able to go and see them. A lot of people don't even, they do the sentence when their parents are old and they have heart attacks or they die and they don't even get to say goodbye. Now,
no.
You know, how bad would that be?
Well, that happens every day.
Mm-hmm. Life doesn't stop when you go to jail.
No, man.
And this is why I try and educate the kids, man, and just try and say to them, like, it don't do you no good going in there, you know. You need to stop. Start doing things in a positive way, because I'll tell you what, the money that you make illegally, you can make legally.
Yes, you can. Yeah.
You've just got to put a little bit more effort into it.
Yeah.
It comes with less paranoia. It comes with, you know, not having to worry about going to jail. It comes with so many more benefits. And of course, so when you live the fast life and you're doing it, you might make extra money. But because you're being flashed, because you're being fly, you waste it all. So you're no better off. Yeah?
That's right, yeah. And the occupational hazards involved in that life are immense.
Mm.
It's not an easy life to live. And you're right. It all just goes as well.
Yeah. Fast cars, alcohol, partying. Women. It's all gone. all of the stuff that you're not, you wouldn't be left with.
Yeah.
Once you get caught, you ain't left with any of it. Because, like you said, as soon as you went to jail, your life just left you.
Yeah.
And then you come out to get back into it again because there wasn't nothing there for you to come back out and just to go right. So you end up falling back into the cycle again.
That's what happened, yeah. Mm. But this time around, no. I got a bit of help. And so, boom. With the houses, we've done houses as well. Tenants we have, property management, blah, blah, blah. That's what I was doing at first, so... And now this, so it's all good. It's all been good. I just don't want to go back there, that hole, man. Just don't want to go back there. It's the worst thing in the world for me now.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah, we ain't getting any younger, are we, mate?
No. No. 20s okay if you do it in your 20s. If you have to fucking do it, you're fucking okay. Doable at that age. Your 30s, but then not in your 40s and 50s, it's not. There's a lot of better things in life.
Oh, 100%. And I'm glad that you visualise that now and you've got drive to be able to push forward for a positive life. Yeah. Because, yeah, man, you've got some big things coming. Absolutely big things.
Yeah.
You know, you've got your book coming out. Your business is taking off as long as the law stays right.
Yeah, yeah.
With the CBDs and stuff, you know, and that's flying. You know, you've got... What other stuff you got coming?
Netflix as well, they want to do a thing on me.
Yeah.
But they want the book out first.
Right.
Yeah.
So this says
your story is quite original, you unique of like an Asian boy moving up.
I was going to say, is that down to culture?
Back in the 80s, when your story had never been told like that before.
That's why I think the book should be called that.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a lot of things in place, yeah. Yeah, but I'm a bit laxy-daisy as well now. I don't push it that much yet. I should just, like, sort myself out and get on with the job in hand.
Well, think about how fast you used to live, right?
Yeah.
Yeah? You was moving so fast that you was willing to lose the time in a negative way, jail.
Yeah.
Now, you need to move the same speed, but in the positive direction.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, yeah.
Because can you imagine if you had that drive and hunger?
Yes, now.
What you had then, now.
Yeah, now, yeah.
Be, oh, my God.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
You'll be on cinemas, mate. Yeah, like,
yeah.
This Netflix thing is going to be big for you, though.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Yeah. Back then, I was just on it. Pakistan, Taliban there, Al-Qaeda, I'm Sikh. If they find out we got money, they're going to take you away. Hold you ransom. There's nothing you can do because they work alongside the feds. There's nothing you can do because the feds are the Taliban. Over there, they if you want anything done, if you want anybody killed, you go to a police officer. If you want anybody killed, I swear down.
Really?
India is the same. If you want anybody killed, you go to the police and they cover it all up. So then I had no fear of any of that. You know, I said, no, I'm still going to go. I'm still going to do the business. I'm going to go to the cheapest place in the world and I'm going to do the biggest fucking amount. Boom, bang it out, bang it out, bang it out. 6 weeks, every 6 weeks I was there. Boom, 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 boom. The chief of police, the chief narcotics officer had all paid off. Had everybody paid off. I was on like, I thought I was King fucking Kong. Dog with two dicks. But then it all fucks up, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It don't last that long. It don't last that long.
Nah.
About a year and a half, 2 years.
In fast, out faster. Mm.
Yeah. Because people know what you're doing. They're not happy. Phone calls are starting making, don't they?
You're not a face that you can forget either, are you? Yeah. So if they saw you walking past or you was... You know, you was in the country trying to sneak in.
To be like you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's why you can't do nothing. We can't do nothing.
So even if we think, oh, I'll just sneak in there. I'll go in at night time. They won't see me. You still get recognised. Trust me, I know.
Yep.
Yeah, stick out like a sore thumb. It's all good though, because you see, even now, like, you know, is from our visuals, you know, tattoos on faces and just, you know, a sheep covered in tattoos as well. That's like, you know, another thing that's unheard of as well.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
in Sikhs, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So then you don't.
Boundaries
just,
are broken a lot.
Yeah. Oh, you've.
All fucking, of them, every fucking one. Like,
you must have just opened the book and just gone, so I'm not allowed to do this, like, I'll be back in a week.
I've brought every love there is.
Oh, you have definitely.
But I'm still okay. I'm all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The temple, I still go. My mum and that. Now and then. It's still all good. I get a few funny looks over.
What's your mum like when you're walking into the temple and that, like, this place?
Proud, of, proud, yeah? Proud that her son has come. Yeah.
Is she happy that you stepped away from it?
Oh, yes.
You've reinvented you and you reinvented modern day Sikh.
Yeah, yeah. Modern day Sikh, I hope so.
To other Sikhs look at you and just think, oh, I wish I could just fucking just do, go and get the tattoos like you. I like it.
Yes.
They do, yeah.
A lot of them are scared and then they have them on the legs.
Oh, okay.
So their dad doesn't see them.
Yeah.
And these are men in their 30s. You know, because it's like, you can't have a tattoo.
I tattoo a few Sikhs in the shop, and like when I do them, they tend to keep them quite well hidden, don't they? Yeah, they keep them quite well. You know, arms, they wear long t-shirts and stuff when they're around families.
Yeah.
Stuff like legs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's frowned upon.
Oh, yeah.
Big time. I don't know why, man. They need to wake up a little bit.
I think with moving with the times, I think especially here in the UK, you know, it is fast moving. You know, people are changing on a daily. A lot of people are mixing cultures now, you know, it's just, and they've been doing that for years, you know, but it's just, it's not unheard of for, I don't know, you to bring home an English girl, you know, like, same for me with
now it's all cool. Yeah.
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 It moves fast here, but unfortunately in some of the other countries, they try and keep the blood form pure. I think that's what it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I guess that can make you rebel in ways that you have.
Yeah.
Fortunately for you, you know yourself, you found yourself, you know what you want, and you did it despite following tradition.
Yeah,
you wanted to make you happy, and I think that's what's important. You know, it's not forgetting about you, because a lot of people, they tend to wait until I can't until my grandparents are dead, or I can't until my mum and dad's dead, and it's like, God, you shouldn't be wishing on that. I'll get a tattoo when they're dead, like waiting. So that's what I'm gonna do. You know, it should just be like, you know, you do your thing, innit?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, good for you.
It's the only way to do it.
100%.
Yeah. Loads of things I was the first Sikh to do loads and loads and loads of things, everything. First one to get to go inside, first one to marry a white girl, first one to do this, first one, everything. Just bad.
Yeah.
So I thought, if I'm bad, I'll stay bad. But that was my thinking back then.
Yeah, do you think that's why some of the family don't talk to you anymore?
Yeah. They think he's just fucking bad element, still bad element. You won't ever change. That's how they think. But let them. You know, I'm cool with that, and I'll just speak to the people who want to speak to me. If you have your old views and you want to stick in them views, then why should I try and change you? Just leave it at that.
Yeah. Culture, huh?
Yeah.
It is a strange one. I understand it, but it's something that I'm glad that you understand and you still managed to find yourself.
Yeah.
For you. It's good.
Yes. Well, it's important.
Very important.
That other people do the same thing, like even being gay and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's all heavy work in our sort of thing, you know?
Yeah.
If you're English and white, it's all fine, but like in Sikh, or if you're Muslim, ooh.
Yeah, is that like that, is it?
Yeah. My brother's gay.
Yeah, I...
So I had to handle all that as well, you know? Fucking just mental.
How did you cope with that?
Difficult at first, because back then it was like unheard of.
Is this when you was in your prime, given like you were
70s? I'm talking
yourself,
about.
Yeah.
Well, no, this is when I was at school. He went to Manchester University when he was 17, and I was only 12 then at the time. So after that, he was out of the house. He went to Manchester because he knew he was gay and he couldn't stay in the house no longer, so he had to make a move. So he went, and then, but everybody knew, and I used to get a lot of shit off that as well, on top of the other shit I was getting.
Do you think that's one of the reasons why you started rebelling a little bit?
I got a lot of shit off a lot of things. We had no money, second-hand clothes, a stutter I've got. My brother was gay. It was all like, phew, it was a nightmare when I was a young'un. Nightmare. And then when I come up here, 15, it was got even worse, just getting abuse up here of people, because we were the first Asian guys up here back in 1984. And that was hard work up here. So it was just all just it's just been shit. Shit upon shit upon shit. It's just for hopefully now it'll change. Has changed. Has changed. It's not like it used to be.
It's fine. I think. Yeah, so I think now with things being like so acceptable now, it is becoming, you know, more and more every day a very similar thing, you know, Sikh, Asian cultures, Chinese, white cultures, everyone, you know, turning all these, you know, pansexual, transsexual, transgender, all of the above, becoming so accepted now that I guess you don't stand out so much like a sore thumb anymore.
No, maybe not.
So it's almost like, and the thing is, you could turn around and hate that a little bit yourself, because if you think about it, yeah, you had to go through so much shit for just being
We were the
how
first
you were
ones. We were
exactly.
the first ones who
So
do it, yeah.
when you come as one lot. Now everyone, when they start coming out, they're coming out as crowds.
Yes.
There's
Yes,
marches. There's everything. So you want to sit there and go, fucking. That wasn't, we never had
It was
marches.
so
We couldn't
easy.
just
It's
come
so
out
easy,
like,
but yeah, it's so
yeah.
easy now. This is why everything now is like totally changed. All the adverts have changed. Everything's changing. There was even some on the news that you got teachers now. You can't call them miss or sir.
Yeah.
You got to call them what is it? Teacher, and
Yeah,
that's it.
teacher, or man or woman,
What's
wasn't
all?
it, or
I
something?
don't
Yeah.
know, but it's all. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Just leave it as it is. Why you just
Yeah.
leave things as they are?
Oh,
Why
yeah.
you just leave things as they are? You know? What's wrong with leaving it as it is? Climbing on missiles, sir. What is wrong with that?
I don't get the missing the sir thing, because, you know, I guess, you know, from centuries and centuries, you get married, you're Mr. or Mrs. and sir and miss, and I don't understand all that stuff, but you know, we move with the times, and if that's how they if that's how they if that's their
But it
preference and
seems
that's
like
how
they're
they
forcing
want.
it down your throat, so in a way, doesn't it? Yeah, it's all changed. But it's funny when you're younger, then you see all the changes all the way through. You go,
Yeah.
wow. Yeah. Crazy shit.
Yeah, the world we live in today, mate.
Yeah.
I don't think, like, now you could do what you've done
What I
back
did,
then.
no impossibility, because that was before Osama, before he did all what he did with planes, and then planes then were lackadaisy, you know. You
Yeah.
could do what you wanted on planes, but
Yeah.
back then, take what you want, bottles of drinks, remember?
Yeah.
GGHP, we used to have it in a liquid form. We just used to get wrecked on the flight. That was legal. You could take a bottle of liquid like that. You could take anything. You could take anything on a plane, man.
Yeah, now there's nothing. So
No,
I think
no,
being able
no.
to transport the way that you used to
No, no.
is definitely
No.
is slowly becoming non-existent. You
Yes.
know,
Yeah.
you've got to try and figure it out in a different way. Yeah, if everything's changed, there's no way that you could do what you've done back then now.
No, no.
So the gangsters is what people would look upon back in the olden days is slowly dying off, which is
Yeah.
breeding this new generation of knife gangsters, you
Yes,
know,
yes, yes,
and
yes,
things
yes.
like this. And you just think to yourself, what happened to being able to use your hands and just take a punch, you know? Like, at least you can go home, think about it and then go back for a second time. You know, all this knife crime and stuff that's happening, like you just can't be anything now, because you might have everything and it'll be some 14-year-old boy waiting for you by the wheelie bins with a knife, just ready to take it all from you.
Yeah.
You know, where did that play? That you could be the toughest man there is going on the street. You know, kids are taking these people for nothing, for absolutely nothing, and they're getting caught.
Yes.
They're willing to give up their life to play gangster now.
Either they're in debt to these people who tell them to go and do a job like that, because they've been giving them this and that, and they haven't paid them. Right now, you've got to go do this.
Yeah.
Or they're getting paid and they just want to be a gangster anyway.
Yeah.
It's 50-50, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Some of them just want to do it.
Yeah.
Which is quite...
Yeah, I don't get it. I'm just like, oh. All right.
Yeah, really? Is that what you want to do?
Yeah. Yeah, it's mad, mate. Today's generation of you think about it, yeah? Like, 20 years later from you, from where you was to now,
yeah
we're podcasting.
Yeah.
Where is 20 years from now for them? Yeah. What are we going to be podcasting then? That's what things, what are we going to be podcasting? Oh, you ain't a drug smuggler. You haven't, like, all of the podcast in 20 years' time is going to be of, oh, yeah, well, I took a knife out and I stabbed someone and then I went to jail for 20 years.
It's all going
to
be about that.
And that's going to be your podcast.
It's going to be about people killing.
Yeah. Oh, is that it? Oh, yeah. So the podcasts are going to go from hour to 3 hours long to 15 minutes, you know, like that's the next generation of what we've got to think. And we're not, and this is the other thing, we're not glorifying what we did.
Yeah.
We're raising awareness of what you shouldn't do. You shouldn't be like me. You shouldn't do this. You should be like me now, you know, with a positive message, with the right message.
Yeah.
This is what you should be like, you know. So when we come and we do the podcast with yourselves, people want to know your story and then how you've gone from A to B, you know, from the negative to the positive. And that's what this is all about, you know. But like 20 years' time, there is no negative to positive, because you haven't done anything. What you've done is you was a coward. You took a knife out the front.
Yeah.
You killed someone and then you got caught the next day. Like, that's it.
Yes.
Like, what is that about?
Bank robbers now, they don't happen, do they?
Nah.
There's no bank robberies, there's no this, there's no that. It's just snatch and grab on stab and grab.
Yeah.
That's about the story, isn't it? That's what you see in the news.
I think the role models for change for what is slowly getting smaller and smaller.
Yeah.
And this is our duty, as especially my duty as a podcaster, is I want people to see this and see that stuff doesn't work. And you need to now move forward with what we're now progressing and power and output out there.
That's right. Yeah.
And I'm glad you're a part of that message, man. I really appreciate you today and taking the time to be able to do this with us. I'm glad I've done the drive up from down south all the way up north.
Nice one. Thank you for that. No, cheers, man.
It's absolutely amazing. I appreciate your time and that lot. I love this podcast, and I'll get all your details on it. Guys, you asked for him. You got him today, you know. So,
okay, I hope I was all right, guys.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, man. Yeah, okay. We get out there.
Sober version today, you got. You got a sober version because it hit me up early. This is why.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
But thanks, mate. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
And you, brother. Yeah. And you.
God bless.
All right, guys. Thank you for everything.